Jarrett Adams was wrongfully convicted of sexual assault in Wisconsin when he was 17 years old. He was sentenced to 28 years in prison and spent nearly 10 years behind bars before he was exonerated and released. He went on to become a lawyer and worked with the Innocence Project on behalf of others who had likely been wrongly convicted. Today, he's here in Wisconsin to be sworn into the Wisconsin Bar. Jarrett, good to have you back and congratulations.
Thank you. It's great to be in studio to see where all the magic happens, right?
Now, before we go back into your story, I want to talk about this day for you. You just literally came over from being sworn in the Wisconsin bar in the state where you were wrongfully convicted.
Yeah.
What does this moment mean to you?
It's special to me because not only was I sworn in into the state of Wisconsin, but I was sworn in by Keith Finley, you know, the director, the founder of the Innocence Project, who argued my case and you know, helped in reversing my conviction. So it was a moment that I most certainly wanted to share with him as well. And the reason why I decided to do this radio segment was because, look, I think that my story goes a long way to encouraging people to not believe the stigma that is attached to people who go through the criminal justice system.
Let's talk about your story a little bit. We've gone into some detail in the past, but just remind us some elements of the legal process
right. That
led to you being wrongfully convicted. What were some of the things that went wrong along the way?
Yeah. So there were a number of different things, but the one thing that stands out is this. You know, accused of a rape that never happened. And, you know, when you can't afford an attorney, that means everything in our criminal justice system. And it shouldn't. Right? Guilt or innocence shouldn't be decided on how much you can afford. But in my case, it most certainly was. I was appointed a panelist attorney. For those who are non-lawyers listening, a panelist of attorney is when you can't afford an attorney, there's a list of attorneys on a panel that will be appointed to you if you aren't afforded a public defender out of the actual public defender's office. So I didn't get a great attorney, and it had a direct bearing on the outcome of my case.
Things included witnesses you pointed to not being called by your own attorney.
Absolutely. My attorney decided that he was going to go with a quote unquote no defense theory, and there is no such thing. There were witnesses that should have been called. There was no investigation done. And it took me 10 years of my life and the help of the Wisconsin Innocence Project to prove my innocence.
You mentioned the stigma of people in the legal system, and we know that there's the presumption of innocence, innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
But I think there's a common assumption that if you've made it far enough to be arrested, made it far enough to be charged, you're probably guilty in our system.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. And I think that, look, we have to all understand, and we see now, the system is fallible. It's a system that we most certainly need. We need a criminal justice system. That's not what I'm saying at all, is to do away with it. But what I'm saying is, as we advance in technology and infrastructure, we should allow science, both with mental health care and other sciences, to improve the justice system. We should accept it.
If I had spent 10 years in prison for a crime I hadn't committed, I think I might want to walk as far away as I could when I got out from anything to do with the legal system. You did the opposite. You decided to become an attorney and work on these very issues. What led you to do that?
Well, look, I you know, one of the things is this. I know that there's an assumption that every time someone is arrested, like you just said, they had to do it or they were close to doing it or something like that. I don't come from a background like that. I had my mother, my aunts, my grandmother wasn't arrested before this. And so, you know, when I got in the prison system, I started to meet people as a result of helping advocate on behalf of other inmates. And so I started to know their stories. And it was then that I realized, and I want people listening to this to realize, that the person isn't born at the point of their accusation, right? And some people believe that that's the case. So when I started to meet these men, I started to understand that a lot of their stories, you know, came back to the structure of what was going on in the community, right? And I realized that we have to find a way to bridge the gap between mental health care and our criminal justice system, because a lot of people who reach the criminal justice system, they're suffering from all sorts of things like post-traumatic stress, or what I like to say is persistent traumatic stress, because a lot of these impoverished neighborhoods have never had a chance to heal from the stresses that are there.
And you're not just talking about wrongfully convicted people now. You're talking about the things that might lead people to commit crimes and end up in the criminal justice system.
Absolutely, because, like, I am very aware of what's going on in the state, which is why I wanted to come back and get, you know, sworn into the state. And one of the things is, right now, Wisconsin has overcapacity of the number of people who are incarcerated, right? So, you know, where it's supposed to be 17,000, so it's about, you know, 23,000. That's an issue. because it means that we aren't doing what the criminal justice system is designed to do, which is correct, serve a debt to society and get people in a better position to reintegrate. It's not happening.
We're talking to Jarrett Adams. He was welcomed to the Wisconsin bar today. He was wrongfully convicted years ago, later exonerated, now works to help other people in that situation. Can you talk about, Jarrett, the Innocence Project and other programs like that that help people in your situation, and now you're working with them to help others?
Yeah, and I'll share this. Today being sworn in, I won't name her, but there was a justice who gave, the speech to the new incoming class. And she said that, look, I want to remind you all, whether you go into corporate law or whatever type of law, that you have an opportunity and owe a duty to help those who can't help themselves and need it the most. That's exactly what the Innocence Project was designed to do and was founded by Keith Finley and John Prey. And so these are the people who extended their palm to me when I needed it the most, when I couldn't get anyone to listen to me. I couldn't afford to get anyone to advocate for me. And so I can't pay them back monetarily for what they did for me and my family. So what other way to do it than to walk side by side and to help as much as possible?
Something like the Innocence Project is helping one person at a time, in effect. Are there systemic structural changes you think need to be made?
There are. And I am thankful and hopeful for what I am hearing coming out of the governor's office with, Governor Evers and wanting to do changes systematically. I think that one of the things that I would suggest as well is having the voice of those who went through it and those who reintegrated back into society successfully. Because right now we need to start preparing people to reintegrate. And you can't do that a year before their release, because I've used this analogy before. If we wait to provide reentry tools for people right before they're getting released, it's almost like telling the person, let's jump from this plane and then put the parachute on our way down. Some will make it just out of sheer determination, but a lot of people won't be successful.
There's been, looking at one really specific issue, there's been an effort in Wisconsin to boost pay for defense attorneys, people who might be on that panel list you were talking about earlier. Is something as straightforward as that going to make a difference for people who can't afford their own representation?
Absolutely. Because, look, the reality is that the public defender's office is strained, right? And their duty is to represent those who can't afford other representation. And so if they're not being given the resources to represent them in an adequate fashion, it has a direct result on our criminal justice system. This isn't about pitting sides of defense attorneys against prosecutors. I think that we have to find a way to remove the competitiveness in order to find justice in our criminal justice system.
You've already been doing this work. You're now a member of the Wisconsin Bar. What kind of work do you see yourself doing in the months and years to come?
Yeah, so I actually was first admitted to the New York State Bar 4 years ago. And I took a couple cases, when people would reach out to me from Wisconsin. And then I realized that there was something for me to do here. So I went ahead and I applied and I got admitted here today. And what I want to do is this. I really want to live a life as an example of what can happen when people are given the opportunities and the tools to reintegrate successfully back in our society. We can't repair what is going on in our impoverished areas in the state of Wisconsin by locking everyone up. We can't. We have to produce more people who have testimonies to share with our youth. And that is going to be a large focus of my practice in the state of Wisconsin. And that's contributing to the youth justice and also trying to be just trying to be a role model and get up and make the right decisions each and every day.
Well, Jarrett, thanks again for joining us and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Jarrett Adams was wrongfully convicted of sexual assault in Wisconsin when he was 17. After serving nearly a decade in prison, he was exonerated thanks to help from the Innocence Project. He's now an attorney himself, focusing on prison reform and wrongful convictions. Today, he was sworn in as a member of the Wisconsin Bar.